he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lucy. I'm also now going to read from Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9. The Lord commands Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." We thank God for his word. Well, good morning. For those that don't know me, my name is John Cole. I've been a member of the church here for, I think, about 4 years now. And it's my privilege to talk today about courage. People will know that John has introduced us to a series of the values that we want to concentrate on as a church. And of course, one of these values is courage. Now, it may be a coincidence, but he asked me to speak on courage. But it may be a coincidence that I am an ex-military person, having spent a whole career in the army, and I'm therefore going to try and introduce some elements of some of my experience around that, and the army's perspective on courage as well. Because, interestingly, the army also has a set of values, and the first of those listed is courage. So there's something in common there, and I'd like to try and unpick that. But what does courage mean to you? Is it a physical thing? Is it about physical bravery? One of the definitions I really enjoy from the Cambridge Dictionary is the ability to control your fears and to be willing to deal with something that is dangerous, difficult, or unpleasant. To control your fear and to be willing to deal with it. So it's not about an absence of fear. It's not rash. And in fact, Aristotle, the philosopher, said that courage actually requires sound judgment, for it needs to be known whether the end justifies the risks. So let us unpackage some of what this might mean. I read there from Joshua, and if you have a Bible at hand, or if you don't, there are some there if you want to grab one. I'm going to refer to some of the verses that I read out there and also correlate those to something we heard from Lucy. What's really striking to me here is in verse 5, it's written, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." So God doesn't just give us a situation. He's there with us, and he promises that he'll be with us as we take courage. And in fact, then we are told on three occasions in verses 6, 7, and 9 to take courage. Verse 6, "Be strong and courageous." Verse 7, "Be strong and very courageous." Verse 9, "Be strong and courageous." Three times we are commanded to be courageous, knowing that God is with us. So there is also an element of obedience here in as well. To be obedient to the command for courage. And this links really well, I think, to Hebrews 12 that we heard from Lucy, where in verse 7 it talks about enduring hardship. As Christians, we are never told that life will be easy for us. And Hebrews 12 expands on how life can be tough and that we need to draw from a sense of discipline. So there's something about the self-discipline that helps us to be courageous. And in fact, one of the commentaries I read, it referred to verses 8 and 9 of Joshua here by saying that in many ways, those verses 8 and 9 of that first chapter are the theme of the whole book of Joshua, in that it's the ingredients to having success in the battle of our lives. And it talks in verses 8 and 9 of three core ingredients: of God's word, the law, the Bible. Secondly, to meditate, and to me that would include to pray and to study and to understand that word. And thirdly, courage. So the Bible and meditation and courage help us with the battle of life. We've just been singing about the Lion of Judah fighting our battles. And to me, that just reinforces what I felt God was wanting me to say about this, which is, you know, he is there, he is fighting our battles, but we are also commanded to be courageous. So what are your battles of life? What are my battles of life? We don't always choose those battles of life for ourselves. Joshua didn't ask for this appointment, but he had been prepared as the assistant to Moses. He'd been anointed through those words we heard. But he still faced hardships. What are your hardships in life? Is it facing an illness? Is there a tough situation, a financial challenge, a damaged relationship, fears for yourself, fears for the people of Ukraine? There's tough stuff, and we all have our battles to fight. Although it's not in our reading, I couldn't resist talking about David as well. He is one of my great heroes. For 40 days, Goliath went out to the people of Israel and mocked them and mocked their God, our God, and said, "Who will take me?" And then we hear in 1 Samuel 17, verse 32, Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant, I, will go and fight him." So David demonstrated courage there, but to me that also was a demonstration of leadership. It wasn't just an individual act of courage. Listen to his words, "Let no one lose heart." He's doing that to encourage others. For this nation, this army that was in fear for 40 days from Goliath, who mocked them. To bring it more contemporary and to maybe touch on another type of leadership and courage, many will know who this is. It's Johnson Beharie, the first Victoria Cross winner since the Falkland Islands, which is being commemorated 40 years at the moment. And he won the Victoria Cross, the finest recognition of gallantry in 2004 in Iraq. I was in Iraq at the same time in far less discomfort than he, as he did a series of acts of courage and leadership. And in one incident, he was ambushed with a group of other vehicles, armored vehicles, and all the sights were damaged on it, and they were being ambushed, and they were under significant threat to their lives, him and the people in his vehicle and the people in the vehicles behind. So he lifted the hatch of the vehicle, stuck his head out, and drove through the ambush despite sustaining life-changing head injuries as a result of that courage and bravery, and was given the Victoria Cross in recognition. Many will know of Theodore Hardy. Neil lent me his book quite recently, a book about him quite recently, the most decorated military padre ever, in the Somme in 1914, at the age of 54, he was awarded the Victoria Cross by King George, witnessed by a young Princess Elizabeth in her nurse's uniform. He also had a military cross and a Distinguished Service Order, other recognitions of his acts of service. He was a non-combatant, so it's perhaps a slightly different type of courage, but he chose to fight. He was physically scraping soil off people in trenches to save them after they had been buried by soil. He ran out to no man's land to save soldiers who were stranded, and he got alongside people and spoke God's word to them with calmness. So there's another type of courage there. And in the army, it's something that's taught to all soldiers when they join the army and throughout their careers, is this distinction between what we describe as physical courage and moral courage. And moral courage is about doing and saying the right thing, being willing to be kind of counterculture. So it's not so much about a physical act of courage, but it's about a deeper sense of courage from within. And as a Christian, we might also be asked to deal with unpleasantness or awkwardness. What is our willingness to speak of Christ? I think about when we were in church a few weeks ago, Jean asked us to break into three groups. Some could go and do some artistic expression of the reading, some could stay here for the sermon, and some could go out and knock on some doors in the neighborhood and talk of Jesus. And I was gripped by fear of that latter category. I thought, I think I'll stay here. I didn't want to have that act of courage to go and knock on doors, which is ridiculous in the context of some of those stories I've just talked about. Surely it's crazy. But we need to find courage in all circumstances, whatever those battles might be, whatever those awkwardnesses might be. Where is our moral courage as well as our physical courage? And of course, we all know that Paul, imprisoned for his faith, was unashamed of Jesus. He demonstrated physical courage in many ways, but also moral courage. He was willing to speak out. He spoke out to unbelievers, but he also spoke out to the church. And there's books of it in the Bible, which we've all read, and we can keep on reading, where he scolds and corrects the church. He doesn't mind saying difficult things, but he also encourages them. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Unashamed, speaking out. And I think that is encouraging. Let us be encouraged. So there's Theodore Hardy's medals on the left-hand side. And that's a recognition of what he did, but I would like to hope that they are an encouragement to others. When Jackie and I met, I found out that her grandfather had won some medals which were on the right-hand side, which included a DSO and a military cross, not as grand as a Victoria cross by no account, but still substantially there. And to find that in the family, Jackie's family, it wasn't really kind of talked about. Now, that might have been a post-war cultural thing where people didn't talk of their experience of war or of courage, maybe a sense of humility and not wanting it to be one of these vain things of men. We sing the song of, you know, I don't want to be recognized by the vanity of things by men. But I don't think this is about vanity. I think these things are to recognize courage, but also to encourage others. And what can we do to encourage others? We often feel that we're in that battle of life and we can be discouraged. But we do have a choice to be courageous as commanded. But I think also the choice is about taking individual courage and somehow transitioning that to being collective courage, the courage of the church, of the community, of us as a group. And that's through the act of discipline, which we heard about, through acts of leadership, through your courage. Because I think through discipline and leadership, you in turn encourage others. And by encouraging others, you help them to bolster their own courage. So really, I want to summarize now by saying that we shouldn't feel condemned that we may have failed in times where we've been asked to be courageous. Rather, we should feel prepared and anointed as Joshua was, that any challenges we can give to God, for he is with us as he promised here. But let us be courageous, and let us in turn encourage others to have courage themselves. We thank God for his word. Amen.